The scripture reading for today comes from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. It's found on page 1549 on the Bibles in front of you. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
We gather today for Easter Sunday with joy and celebration. For we know the story, we know the good news, we know what's coming. And yet we recognize that the accounts of Jesus' resurrection on Easter morning begin in the shadow of death. The women in Matthew's account come to the tomb simply to see it, with no other purpose than to simply be there. Jesus' closest female followers there to mourn, to weep. Their hearts are weighed down with a profound sense of death and darkness. So even in this week when we were anticipating the joy of Easter, it was easy this week to become weighed down in death and darkness. News stories and images of rubble in a Coptic church in Egypt on Palm Sunday, where our brothers and sisters in Christ gave their lives for worshiping our Lord and Savior. Stories and images of innocents dying in a gas attack in Syria. News of the mother of all bombs being dropped in a foreign nation. Images of a growing famine in Kenya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. Mounting tensions in Korea. Viral videos of a man being bloodied as he's dragged from an airplane. Death surrounds us. Beyond the news headlines, some of us gather for worship on Easter morning in the shadow of the death of a loved one or a close friend, or thinking of our friends who are mourning the loss of a beloved family member. Some of us gather for worship on Easter morning in the shadow of a different kind of death. The kind of death that comes from those soul-sucking, life-draining experiences. A relationship that doesn't stop fighting. Yet another strained interaction with our children. A week of being bullied at school. Easter begins in the shadow of death. And Matthew doesn't tell us how long the women were there at the tomb before the angel comes. Matthew doesn't tell us what the guards may or may not have said to the women as they're there simply to mourn. We just know that they come. And as they're there, burdened by the weight of death, burdened by sorrow and mourning, suddenly there is an earthquake. Now, earthquakes in Scripture are a sign of God's activity. Earthquakes are a sign that this has something to do with God's big story of Scripture. That an earthquake means that something is happening that has something to do with God restoring all things. It's an eschatological sign, a sign that God is beginning the new creation. The women come burdened by death, but then there is an earthquake. Something world-changing is about to happen. And lo and behold, here comes an angel who rolls back the stone and sat on it. I still remember a time when, as a child, Reverend Paul Mapindi, who was Karis Mapindi, the intern who was here a few years ago, Karis' father, Paul Mapindi preached at my childhood church, and he preached on Easter Sunday. And I remember Paul, and if you remember Karis, you can imagine how Paul spoke. I remember Paul saying, the angel rolled back the stone, and he sat on it with style. This is a triumphant angel. He rolls back the stone and he sits on it in triumph. For this is the news of victory. When the angel comes, the guards are so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. These Roman guards, so accustomed to death and slaughter and violence, these Roman guards who had probably crucified countless individuals, who had probably fought in battles on the frontiers of the Roman Empire, these Roman soldiers known for their bravery and their virtus, it's the word that we get virtue from, but Roman soldiers were known for virtus, and in Latin it means manliness. Soldiers were the ideal man's man. But in the presence of the activity of God, they fall over as though dead. The ones who are supposed to guard the dead body become like dead ones, and the dead body is no longer there. These manly Roman guards, these guards known for their strength who have encountered the horrors of life, they're collapsed on the ground, but it is the women. Women who are viewed as unreliable witnesses whose word cannot be trusted in court. Women who at this time in history are less respected than men. Women who at this time in history are thought to be weak. The exact opposite of the virtus of the Roman soldiers. They are the ones who stand face to face with the angel. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid." It's a common command of angels. When an angel shows up, the first words out of their mouths are almost always, "Do not be afraid." And then the angel gives the reason why they don't need to fear. Now, in Greek, sentence structure is a little more fluid than in English. And so when you're looking at a Greek sentence, what you want to look for is the last thing. What comes last is what is in a position of emphasis. And so here, when the angel tells the women at the tomb, "Do not be afraid," we see a buildup. Do not be afraid. Why? Because I know what you're doing. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Do not be afraid. Why? Because he's not here. Do not be afraid. Why? Because he has risen. Do not be afraid. Why? Just as he said. When you think back on the things that Jesus said in his time on earth, of all of the statements that he made, among the most preposterous, if not the most preposterous, was that he told his disciples, "I am going to die, and on the third day I will be raised to new life." And if even that is true, how much more so is everything else that Jesus said true? If even this most outrageous claim that Jesus was going to come back to life happens just as he said, how much more can Mary and the women at the tomb trust that everything Jesus said is true? It reminds me of the famous idea put forth by C.S. Lewis: either Jesus is a liar, or he's mentally unstable, or he is precisely who he says he is. Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. Do not be afraid. He is not here. Do not be afraid. He is risen. Do not be afraid. Everything he said is true. So when Jesus said to his disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's true. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that the Son of Man will gather his elect from the four winds together in the kingdom of God, it's true. When Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, it's true. When Jesus told his disciples, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. That's true. When Jesus said, all things have been committed to me by my Father, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It's true, just as he said. When Jesus says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. It's true, just as he said, do not be afraid. So the angel tells the women, go. Go and tell his disciples. And so the women hurry away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, when suddenly they meet the crucified, risen Jesus and can do naught but worship. And Jesus repeats the commands of the angels. First one, do not be afraid. Over and over in the Gospels, do not be afraid. In light of the good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, do not be afraid. It's the theme we have seen over and over in Lent. As those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, as those who have been made forever right with God, as those who are under God's providential care, what reason have we to be afraid? As we saw last week, what can mere mortals do to us? Do not be afraid. And then the second command, go and tell. Go and tell my brothers, Jesus says. The women at the tomb become the first preachers of the gospel, teaching the men who follow Jesus Christ the good news. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And so these words from Matthew 28 echo down through the ages. Go and tell our brothers and sisters, he is risen. Death does not have the final word. When we lay our loved ones to rest, it is not the end of the story. We trust that the story will be brought to completion, that today we will be in the presence of Jesus, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day all of us will be raised to new life in the eternal kingdom of God. Do not be afraid. Go and tell our brothers and sisters, he is risen. The death and destruction on the news is naught but the final death throes of an already defeated enemy. We live in the already begun kingdom of God, and one day all will be set right, all will be made as it should be. When we see the stories of death and destruction, it is simply a sign that our enemy is on his way out. Do not be afraid. Go and tell our brothers and sisters, he is risen. The kingdom of God is present even now, as Jesus preached. And while not yet fully present, we can experience the hope and life and abundance and joy that Jesus offers. We can experience a foretaste of the way things will be. We can experience a taste of the way things ought to be. And so when we gather with fellow believers and we hear the stories of what God is doing in our midst, this is a chance to say, that is the kingdom of God. When we gather with fellow believers and we see generations of faithfulness gone before us, we can say that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. Do not be afraid. Go and tell our brothers and sisters, he is risen. There is hope where we experience death in our lives. There is hope where we experience the pain and sorrow of broken relationships and addictions and slavery to sin. There is hope that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God sets us free from the self-focused life to a life of loving God and loving our neighbor, to turn away from ourselves into the embrace of the loving community of Christ. Do not be afraid. Go and tell our brothers and sisters, He is risen. Our sins are forgiven. And we have been made forever right with God. Jesus is the one with the power to forgive sins. And through His death and resurrection, He extends that forgiveness to each and every one of us. Not because we're so great, not because we're so special, not because we work so hard, not because of the list of achievements behind our name, but because God loves us and by grace offers us unmerited, unearned forgiveness and embraces us as His own children. By the sheer grace of Jesus Christ, do not be afraid. Go and tell our brothers and sisters, He is risen. Through Jesus, we encounter the very God of the universe. When we meet Jesus, we are seeing who God is. When we experience the love of Jesus in our lives and the outflowing of the joy and love of the Holy Spirit, we are getting a taste of who the very God of the universe is. When we love one another with the same sort of love with which Jesus loved, we are demonstrating the very nature of God. For God is love. Through love, we encounter God. Through Jesus, we know who the Father is. Do not be afraid. Brothers and sisters, on this Easter morning, may we be reminded of the call incumbent upon all of us who follow Jesus Christ. Go and tell the good news. He is not here. He is risen just as He said. All that He said is true. And so we have no reason to be afraid. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the good news of Easter morning, that because Jesus is raised from the dead, we are assured of our salvation. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we are assured that You are setting the whole world to right. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we are invited into Your presence, forgiven and set free. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would draw us to Yourself. Help us to know and to trust that good news, that story that You are recreating all things, that You are recreating our hearts and our lives, and that You are inviting us into the new creation outside of us as well. Heavenly Father, may we live and love as Jesus lived and loved, for in so doing, we encounter the very nature of who You are. In the name of Jesus, our resurrected, crucified Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.